Today, Wanted. Adults in the budget room as deficits roar and games are played. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance and the latest one that is post covering finance and property news. So we got the mid-year economic forecast today from the Treasurer, and there was plenty of spin about necessary uplifts in spending, recent tax cuts, and government support, and even that the government is supporting women more than ever. They were also keen to compare their own efforts with the previous government's efforts, although of course they were including the COVID years, and also international comparisons, which shows that Australia's economy still has more capacity and is in some respects still among the best dirty shirts. But as I discussed with Leif von Onselen yesterday in our live show, all is not well with this budget, and there will be consequences. One notable issue was that the federal government has cut company tax receipts for the first time since the pandemic began because of weaker profits from the mining sector. They revised down company tax receipts by $6.6 billion for 24-25 and by $8.5 billion over the four-year outlook. That's the first time that they've downgraded since the 2021 budget. But then the Treasurer maintained most of the government's long-run commodity price assumptions from the May budget. Iron ore, coking coal, thermal coal, and LNG were unchanged at $60 a tonne, $140 a tonne, $70 a tonne, and $10 a cubic million British thermal units, respectively. So the question is, are those too conservative, and does it represent a hollow log for more spending later? Probably it does. The period of time that it takes to reach those long-term forecasts were also left at four quarters, meaning the government now expects those prices to be realised by the end of September 2025. That's 6 months later than the May budget forecast. And while that implies commodity prices will remain elevated for a longer period, economists argue that the iron ore forecast in particular is too low, given that the bulk commodity is still trading far above the $60 a tonne level. With iron ore prices still around $100 a tonne, this commodity price assumption is arguably still on the conservative side, said BetaShares chief economist David Bassanese. It offers scope for revenue upgrades and likely even more government spending in any pre-election budget statement. Commonwealth Bank said on Wednesday that it expected iron ore on average at $92 a tonne based on the 2025 financial year, which is higher than the $87 a tonne expected by the government. And Australia's largest bank is also tipping prices to average $84 a tonne in financial year 26. That's far above the budget forecast of $61 a tonne. Now, higher iron ore prices boosts mining company profits and therefore company tax receipts. The government estimates that a $10 increase in the assumed price of iron ore would add roughly $400 million in tax receipts to 24-25, $500 million in 25-26, and $600 million in 26-27, before increasing to $1.8 billion in 27-28. It's also interesting to note that the government did adjust its commodity forecast for oil prices. Prices are now expected to remain at $77 a barrel for the foreseeable future, much lower than the $94 a barrel forecast in the May budget, based on the Malaysian TAPIS benchmark. While that is more in line with the Commonwealth Bank's short-term projections, the lender expects a sharper decline in oil to $65 US a barrel in financial year 28, compared to the government's long-term forecast of $77 US a barrel. And then there are the so-called off-budget issues. The AFR's Michael Reid has done some great analysis on this, which showed that the federal government will spend a record $90 billion off budget over the next 4 years, obscuring the true situation facing the budget. This off-budget spending does not show up in the underlying budget deficit or surplus, despite it imposing a significant cost on taxpayers. The underlying budget balance that the Treasurer prefers to focus on hides, frankly, a heap of so-called off-budget spending, such as taxpayer money for the Clean Energy Finance Corporation, the $12 billion Snowy Hydro 2.0 project, wiping 20% off student debts, and the $15 billion National Reconstruction Fund. Adding in the government's extra below-the-line spending, the headline cash deficit is $47.8 billion this year and a whopping $233 billion over 4 years out to 2027-28. The coalition also plans to add hundreds of billions of dollars to off-budget spending in the long term for nuclear energy, so both sides of politics are playing the same game. Experts have warned that the explosion in so-called off-budget spending has hidden the true state of the federal government's finances, reduced scrutiny of expensive promises, and added to inflation, Reid noted. While off-budget spending does not affect the underlying deficit or surplus communicated to voters on budget night, it's included in the so-called headline balance, which garners little attention. Treasury expects the federal government will record a headline budget deficit of $47.7 billion this financial year, $20.8 billion worse than the underlying deficit of $26.9 billion due to the steady rise in those off-budget spending issues. By 2026, the Treasury projects the surge in off-budget spending will push the headline deficit to about $70.3 billion, which would be a record outside the pandemic in dollar terms. Overall, Treasury expects headline deficits will cumulatively equal $233 billion over the next 4 years. That's a $33.6 billion deterioration on the May budget, Reid said. And actually, the more you look, the more you see the holes, massive holes, in this budget. First, tax and other revenue are hovering near a sustained record high of 25.5% of the economy, thanks to once-in-a-generation windfalls. The unemployment rate is very low at 3.9%, and personal income tax is on track for a record $335 billion this year, despite the Stage 3 income tax cuts that shaved off around $23 billion. Company tax of $133 billion is just a bit below its all-time high last year amid elevated commodity export prices. Total budget revenue is cumulatively higher by about $380 billion over 5 years compared with Treasury's forecasts on the eve of the May 2022 election. And yet, at a time when revenue is booming and the economy is operating around full capacity, the deficit in underlying terms is forecast to be $26.9 billion, or 1% of gross domestic product. That's a $1.3 billion improvement since the May budget. Cumulative underlying deficits over 4 years, though, are projected to blow out $244 billion. That's $21.7 billion worse than expected just 7 months ago. And why are deficits blowing out when revenue is soaring? Well, the answer is runaway spending. Federal spending as a share of the economy will hit 27.2% in 25-26. That's the highest outside of the pandemic since 1986, which was just before the Hawke-Keating Labour government began a real but painful fiscal repair mission. The $50 billion National Disability Insurance Scheme is actually the chief spending culprit, despite attempts to restrain it. Annual growth in the NDIS is projected to fall from 20% to a still very high 8% to hit $93 billion a year by 2033-34, according to their estimates. Childcare subsidy spending has blown out by a further $3.1 billion over 4 years, even before Labour is expected to announce a big new universal childcare package in the new year. And total real spending growth, even discounting for the high inflation rate, is running at an unusually high 5.7% this fiscal year, and in nominal terms is at 8.7%. And here's the thing. Government spending is increasing at a rapid clip while the Reserve Bank of Australia has its foot firmly on the interest rate brake, trying to stamp out inflation. By the government's own numbers, fiscal policy is working in the very opposite direction of monetary policy. Real government spending growth was originally budgeted in October 2022 to be a relatively 1.8% in 24-25. The almost 4 percentage point blowout shows why Chalmers' claim that average real spending growth will be 1.5% over the 6 years to 27-28 is a charade because it fails to factor in inevitable new future spending. The government blames $8.8 billion of unavoidable spending this year and $47.6 billion in total is inherited from the former coalition government since coming into office, such as unfunded and expiring programs. Examples include payment variations to ensure veterans receive their entitlements, indexing pensions, increasing support for families, disaster recovery funding, and increased demand for health services. Undoubtedly, there are some compulsory extra spending that cannot be avoided. But it's all but impossible to see the effect of tax breaks and government support for big business across this budget. But we know it's there. The most obvious is the high gas price that people pay while the gas exporters are making a mozza and paying almost no tax and expect those companies to get even more support to build import terminals to repatriate our own gas at international prices. We need a gas reservation and we need a gas reservation now. Miners and other industry sectors are also enjoying low tax rates or no tax at all. And don't get me started on the shockingly higher defence spending for submarines not arriving for, well, decades. The job of any government is to consider the trade-offs of different spending programmes and prioritise and make room by cutting wasteful spending and saying no sometimes. Economist Chris Richardson calculates the government's net spending and taxing decisions since the election have worsened the budget by $78 billion over 5 years, and he estimates that the Albanese government received a federal budget windfall of around $384 billion from three factors. Firstly, Russia's invasion of Ukraine drove up global commodity prices, resulting in more mining company tax receipts. Then there were higher than forecast immigration, which increased personal income tax receipts. Hint, cut migration. And there was also higher than expected inflation, which further increased personal income tax receipts via bracket creep. Yes, taxes are still higher despite stage three. Richardson also noted on Twitter that the Albanese government has made decisions that have raised spending by $124 billion and have raised taxes by $46 billion for a net worsening in the budget position across the forward estimates of $78 billion. So after some semblance of restraint by Labour to deliver two budget surpluses, fiscal discipline is slipping as the election approaches. A federal and state government spending splurge forced Treasury to upgrade public final demand growth to 3.75% from 1.5% that was expected back in May. Labour under Bill Shorten at the 2019 election actually was honest enough to explicitly outline tax rises to pay for higher social spending. But the Albanese government prefers a tax and spend agenda by stealth that will inevitably lead to higher income taxes over the medium term as bracket creep squeezes working age people. And the other worry is that there is more likely to be election spending from both sides still to come. So when the mining boom eventually ends, as it will, Australia's broken budget will be fully exposed and will look very, very ugly. So the question is this: where are the adults in the room? Because based on this budget, they appear to have left years ago. And the result will be more pressure on ordinary households and businesses across the country well into the future. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.